Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast, the conclusion to episode 161. This is part two, Halfway Never Makes It. Today is Sunday, August 22nd, 2010. Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast. I'm your hostess with the mostest, Janine Arnopoulos, and I'm coming to you from spirited North Minneapolis, Minnesota, USA. You know, Pastor Paul's mission is the grocery shelf to the state of Minnesota because there are no boundaries. Located in Disciples Ministries' historic Mikra Kodesh Synagogue at 1000 Oliver Avenue in North Minneapolis. So if you need food, you live anywhere in Minnesota, you're living in a household of two or more, or you are a senior 60 years and older or disabled with proof, call us at 612-521-4665, Monday through Friday between 1 and 3 p.m. to register your household for monthly groceries. And you can also shop Pastor Paul's mall online if you're living in the Southwest United States at Vons.com. So you can pick up some groceries through Pastor Paul's mall at Vons.com. You can also visit us online at www.pastorpaul.org, where you can make a tax-deductible donation to support our urban mission operations. You can join our community. At the top of the homepage, you're going to find interactive links to Pastor Paul's blog, Flickr, the podcast, Life Vantage, YouTube, and Twitter. So be sure to join us online. You can also leave a comment, ask a question, make a suggestion, or give a testimony at the blog. You can email me, janine@pastorpaul.org, and at Pastor Paul's blog, you're going to find scripture links to Pastor Paul's messages. You're going to be joining us two times a week minimum for Pastor Paul's podcast. Part one is always on Friday. Part two is on Sunday. That's the conclusion to his message. Also, join the Twitter Rumble, which is on Thursday. I am doing live tweets as I record Pastor Paul's pre-recorded message. So lots happening at pastorpaul.org. This month, the messages are the following. Deliver me from lying lips. Knowing yourself, halfway never makes it, can we boast of tomorrow? Great messages, timely messages. Join us here every week. Have a great month of August. God bless you.
You can't keep God's command by doing something else which pleases you better. Did you understand that? God has you doing something, well, oh, I'll do this, because I like to do this better. You do that at your job? Say you're on an assembly line down there, and you're putting these brand new Cadillacs. So it might as well go big, okay? Rolls Royces. All right, we want you to put those wheels on these Rolls Royces, okay? I think I'd rather put mufflers on. And the guy comes back and all these cars are going off the assembly line and they ain't got no wheels on them. Say, I thought I told you to put wheels on these Rolls Royces. What have you been doing? I've been putting mufflers on. Making them sound real good. How's this sound? You're fired! Sorry, Wayne. You're hired back again. But do you see how ignorant that sounds? God tells you to do something, and then you think, well, this would be a nice thing. God didn't tell you to do that. Don't you understand? Do you ever have somebody doing something, okay, you're the boss of something, and you tell them to do something, you come back, and they're doing just the opposite, and the job isn't done? Doesn't that irritate you? Well, what do you think about God? He's got this whole plan going on, and he has you to do a certain work, and he comes back, and you're doing something else. What's that got to do with obeying God? Well, the reason I did that was because I noticed that the cars going off the line were making an awful lot of noise, and, you know, people aren't going to buy them if they make a lot of noise. But I didn't ask you to put mufflers on. I asked you to put the wheels on. Why didn't you do it? You see how frustrating that would be to have somebody start to do work and then come up with all kinds of reasons and excuses why they can't do it? Well, we all got together and didn't you all feel the same way I felt? Yeah, but who's your boss? The union isn't your boss. I'm your boss. You're fired. Out. Out! Hey, if we did on our jobs like we do when we're working for the Lord, we wouldn't last very long. Why didn't you do that job? Oh, I had to go get a haircut. You did? Did you do it on your own time? Come on, people. You find all the excuses we want to find. I'm just telling you like it is. Either we start to obey the Lord or we don't. And when we're obeying the Lord, it doesn't mean we go halfway to hearing in our obedience. Huh? Understand? God. Does it? How would you like it to go into a cafe and you ordered roast leg of lamb with sautéed vegetables? And sitting this guy's out here and he says, man, this sauerkraut and wieners looks great. Give him that. Now the shoe's on the other foot. Don't you want people to obey? When you send the waitress out with an order, don't you want her to come back with what you ordered? Oh, the people that don't obey are the ones that scream the loudest. And they are the very boldest in what they want. See, the essence of obedience lies in its exactness. That's the essence of all obedience in it being exact. Not halfway, not 90%. What good would it be to come all the way from St. Paul, where you went to get the turkeys and you came all the way from Pelican Rapids and you stopped out here about 15 miles away? You called up and said, well, I'm 15 miles away. See you later. Well, you obeyed, but there's still 15 miles out there. Come on in. No, I can't. I got something I got to do. Interesting. Isn't that the way we do in Christianity a lot of times? We find a reason. Oh, there's a concert. And I'll be late for the concert, so I'm going to park the truck out here and I'm going to go in the gas station and clean up and hop on a bus. But I almost obeyed all the way, praise God. Goodbye. No. The essence in obedience lies in the exactness. And although something else may seem to you to be just as good as the thing commanded, what's that got to do with it? What has that got to do with it? And don't try to blame it on somebody else. We always do that. Well, it wouldn't have been for them. And this and that, and so on. I got confirmation the sun came up this morning. Oh, God, how we try to make things right when they're wrong. Anyway, you listening on the radio, who are you to presume something else is just as good? No, how many speak and they say, God spoke to me to do this or that, and then drop out halfway. How many people have I known in the course of my ministry that they say that they got a voice from heaven came to them? Go to disciples ministry. Go there and do whatever that they would have you to do. Wash dishes, pack potatoes, do anything. And about 3 days later, they're nowhere around. And I think a whole lot of people will never go all the way to the promised land, but sit down smack dab in the middle. We can only obey God's command as it stands. Anything else is high treason. I have been asked several times for me to leave this work. Yeah, suppose I could find a few reasons. And some people even find reasons for me. Say amen, somebody. But see, the gist of the thing is, either I'm exact in my obedience, or it isn't obedience at all. And say what people may, it doesn't have anything to do with what God has told me to do, or you to do, or us to do. What has that got to do with it?
Oh, God. God, they were so mean. You don't know. Oh, Lord.
What's that got to do with it? Come on now. How many hearing this? God is going to have us do things. He is giving us orders to do things. Now, when we try to reason and get into reasoning why and how we can get out of doing something, are you hearing this? Anything else, I said, is high treason. Anything else is like erasing God's plan for your substitute. And it'll never end up good. I remember coming down here and a friend of mine told me, he says, "My God, Paul, they're throwing stones at you." I says, "Don't you tell anybody that I got stones thrown at me. That's not important. Don't you tell anybody about what I'm doing down here. Because I'll be down here all by myself. I don't want anybody to know this because this is what God has sent me to do. I don't want anybody to know this because," I says, "you know what? There'll be enough to feed it anyway. Don't say anything. But let's get out of here. Now's the time to get out of here. There's only about $25,000 invested, and we can just ease out of here." Well, you might ease out of here, but I ain't going to ease out of here because I ain't going to sleep for a couple of months just on what you said. I can't do that. No way. I won't be able to sleep. No. You'll have to come up with a better reason than that. And there was reason after reason after reason I could have found, and we could have found, but still it wasn't an act of obedience to the Lord. God didn't tell us to look to reasons to quit. God told us to come down and do a work and go on through and don't stop in Haran halfway, but go over into Canaan in your experience, and there will be trials. And if you want a whole blessing, you got to go through a whole trial.
Well, how long is the trial going to last?
Might happen the day you die. What's it matter? It's a bigger trial not to obey God, let me tell you. I've spent months in my ministry not sleeping because I had decisions to make. Say amen, somebody. See, it becomes will worship and not God worship. What your will is. When we do what we choose of God's work and leave a part undone, which does not please us too well. You know what that is? That's rebellion. Well, I'll do this part and then I'll just let somebody else do that part. But also a halfway obedience increases our responsibility. And why? You know why it does? Because it is plain that we know the Lord's will and yet we do not do it. Abram received a call and knew it. And that's why he even went halfway to Haran. See, he admitted by going halfway to Haran, he ought to go all the way to Canaan. And that left him with no excuses. And so if you listening on the radio have gone halfway in your going over into Canaan experience and you stopped in Haran, you are left with no excuses because you knew enough to go halfway. That just smacks of and tells me that you knew enough to go all the way, but you disobeyed, and that's rebellion. And you're left with no excuse, none whatsoever. And you listening, if you're convicted because you've only gone halfway with what God has told you to do, there are no apologies for such neglect. None. None. No, there's no apologies for such neglect. See, I believe this, listen, that many of us by a service we render to God admit that He has the right to our obedience. So why don't you obey Him in all things? Yes, we say Jesus is my Lord and do some things, He says, but why not the rest? I believe this shows you know your Master's will and do it not. So So in this failure of obedience, it causes you more responsibility. You take it on. The result is Abram lost privileges. God did not speak to him while he was in Haran. And if you're stopped right now in the middle of going through something in your life, and you've stopped right there and you're thinking, you've stopped right there and you're praising of God, and you've stopped right there and you're seeking of the Lord, and you've stopped right there in your faith, and you've stopped right there and you're believing and you're pressing on, you're not going to hear from God. Or you're going to hear from people. God, they'll dictate to you like they are your God. You'll have to jump every time the finger snaps. See, because we're all made to worship. And some of us fall into idolatry and we start worshiping very strange gods. But God didn't speak to him in Haran. No dreams, no visions, no voice, no visits of grace. Well, you say, did God still love him? Of course. But if we walk contrary to God, he walks contrary to us. And so it says that Abram lived with his father Terah, but wasn't living with his heavenly father, and so he couldn't hear his voice. And oh, that's a terrible silence. It's beautiful when I, in a real pressing time, and God speaks to me and he says, Paul, go on. Love that. Can happen late at night and you're undecided in what you're supposed to be doing, and how the true heart sighs. Oh Lord, be not silent to me, lest if thou be silent to me I become like that go down into the pit. Oh, let's don't be half-hearted in our communion with God. You preachers obey God first over everything. No halfway! And so here you see Abram's father must die. The cord which holds Abram must be broken. And if the called one would not move and come out while the old man lives, he must die. Listen, God will have his way one way or another. Are you hearing it? Oh, God. I think God wouldn't have to use the rod so much if we'd stopped acting like such jackasses. Stubborn and self-willed and mean and disagreeable. But that's not all. Abram was creating a future problem by an attachment to Lot. Oh, I think some people cannot just stand to have someone dislike them. And so they cater to people. Give them places of authority. Puff up novices. He was told to come out from his kinfolk, but he clung to the nephew Lot, and oh, what a pain he was. Later, he had to suit up for war and rescue him. Had he taken charge from the start, he would have saved himself a lot of trouble over Lot, who was a lot of trouble. Are you living like this? Has someone got your attention? Are you a people pleaser, pastor, or person? Has God spoke to you, but you hate to break relationships all the way? Are you afraid you will score low on the population polls of the half-step Christians, maybe? Listen, preachers and people, we need to learn a lesson from this. Not only from Abraham's disobedience, but he was actually delaying a blessing which God had prepared for him by staying out of Canaan. Maybe tonight, maybe today, maybe somewhere in the future, you are delaying a blessing which God has for you by sitting down on the job, by your undecided conduct. Say amen, somebody. Some of you have come away from your sins, but not entered the new life in its fullness. You have left the Ur of Chaldees, the place of open sin, but you have not entered into Canaan. You live in a partial obedience, not here and not there, not in death or not in life, not in rebellion or obedience, but not even in unbelief and in faith. You're kind of mixed. And I think halfwayers are the most miserable people. They get to heaven, but they get to heaven the very hard way. No joy in their route. They sort of go in a fourth-class dog car. No peace, because peace comes through total obedience. Well, here's the last question I'm going to ask. When we're called, if we obey totally, will our road be a smooth one? No. The road of the separated believer involves trial. In the world, ye will have tribulation. And in the Lord's vineyard, the knife is used. And this is the love process, the pruning for life eternal. Every fruit-bearing tree is pruned. True faith never runs smooth. And I think we're all going to get an opportunity to prove our loyalty, to prove our love and our faith in Jesus Christ. And when God gives you a complete revelation, don't stop in the middle of it. Don't look for reasons to get out of what God has called you to do. Are you willing to accept this honor? It will involve a dedication, a wholehearted walking. So count the cost. It says in the Bible, you would be misunderstood in the house of your friends. You will be slandered, you will be ridiculed, and you will be persecuted. Are you ready to say, "Here I am, Lord, send me"? And lastly, when you decide to obey God all the way, it puts you on a special ground. God will always justify the course which he commands. And when Abraham went to Canaan, when the Lord said, "Go," it was the Lord's responsibility. When we're down here right now and God has told us to go ahead, and there will be mistakes being made, God not only takes on the responsibility of everything going smooth, but also the responsibility for the mistakes that are made. As long as you keep on that road, God takes on the full responsibility. Have you heard this message tonight? And so here we had a man that made a journey. And here we are tonight. God's asking us, will you go all the way with what I've told you to do? Will you be put off by friends? Will you be put off by relatives or your father or in your family? Will you be put off with what I told you to do? What are you going to do? Are you going to obey me or are you not going to obey me? What are you going to do when the call comes? No, don't get looking at somebody else out there, you on the radio. No, what are you going to do? And what would you do in that person's place? I ask, in the last few months, I've asked people, I said, okay, what would you do in my place? In this circumstance, or that circumstance, or this circumstance, or that circumstance, what would you do? Do you want to live with that? See, it's not our responsibility. It's God's responsibility. Our responsibility to God is to obey God, and God will work the thing out. See, sometimes when you get into acts of obeying the Lord, it gets kind of fearful to people. You make them afraid. When you're stout in your heart, and you know just what way, which way to go with what God has told you to do, it causes fear in people. They don't know what to make of it. But you know, in the end, unless that we're stout-hearted and we are exact in our obedience to the Lord, because, hey, this is a fine-tuning right now. Well, you might have got by with sloppy kind of maneuvers before, but now the devil's closing in, and this is the end times, and God is going to move people here and there. He's going to hit and here and there. And these are commando troops that are going in behind the enemy lines, and they got to be battle-hardened, and they got to be ready. Are you ready? Now I'm having. We're going to have the Hormel Company come down here on Wednesday. These are retired people coming down here to pack grocery bags, some 800 grocery bags that they're going to take back, and they're going to help us pack some 5,000 bags down here. Now, I suppose, my God, somebody will find something wrong with that. You know what? I don't care. I could care less. You know why? I'm all done caring about what people think. I am going to obey God right down to the letter. Right down to the nitty-gritty. Do you understand what I'm talking about? Say amen, somebody. And what you got to do is do what God told you to do. You and you and all of you. Do what God has sanctioned and told you to do. Do it with all your heart and all your mind and all your soul. And don't be dismayed with the tisk-tisks and with people's faces and with their opinions and with their reasons for you not to do it. But just do it. I didn't ask you to put mufflers on. I asked you to put tires on. Oh, my God. How many heard this message tonight? See, it's an exactness in what God wants you to do. Maybe people won't agree with how you get the thing done. And maybe there will be mistakes that are made. But God takes on the responsibility if you're in the work for the mistakes that are made too. When you're working for a company, now listen, and there's something wrong with the transmissions in these cars, General Motors takes on the responsibility for all of those cars and they do a recall on them. They don't go to the mechanic. They don't go to one guy out of 10,000 and they try to find out who did this thing. The company takes on the responsibility for it. And it's just like in a ministry. There are mistakes that will be made by people, but God takes on the responsibility of that ministry. He'll deal with the preacher, but he isn't going to deal with everybody. Someone has to take on the responsibility of seeing the job done. That's just like when you go out to pick up things. They say, "Now, okay, now, can you make it here at 10 o'clock in the morning? Yes, we'll be there at 10 o'clock in the morning to pick up all of these fruits and vegetables." And so then you don't show up. "Well, I thought my Aunt Emma was going to come." They don't want to hear that. Hey, look, we don't want to hear this, see, because it causes rats and rodents and things like that to come around when you don't pick up this stuff, and we'll just throw it away. You know why that they throw a lot of food away in the United States? Because nobody wants to take on the responsibility of picking it up every day. See, because fruits and vegetables are growing every day. Now, right now where we're seeing there's little fruits and vegetables growing somewhere. You're like, they're growing. And you pull them out of the ground, and they get nice and ripe, and then they start to rot. And so it's a 24-hour-a-day job. You can go all over and pick up all the food you want, and the stores don't want to hear all your excuses and your reasons for not being there. Somebody has to take on the responsibility of picking that stuff up. "Well, we said they were going to do it." No, somebody, "I don't care. We want it out of here, okay?" And that's why they throw things away. Because nobody will take on the responsibility of picking it up every day, and their feet get tired, and their back gets tired, and their wife gets tired, or their girlfriend gets tired, or their friends get tired, or something gets tired. "Oh, we just didn't feel like, how about them over there? They should be doing something. They don't do nothing. We have to do everything." Murmuring. And then the murmuring takes over to somebody else. "No, that's right. I never thought of it that way. It's just terrible. Mom, let's revolt. Let's quit." What's that got to do with obeying God? What has that got to do with obeying God? Now you tell Uncle Sam that when you don't pay your taxes. What's going on? You're going to be behind bars. No, I don't know, but I'm trying to make it common sense. I mean, it's just so, you know, I'm not trying to spiritualize everything. I'm just trying to make it common sense. Trying to make it so you can grab it. Has God told you to do something and you find all kinds of excuses? There is no excuse. None. Well, I didn't think it was quite spiritual enough for me. Oh, you thought that laying in bed till noon was quite spiritual enough for you, though. Is that right? What were you doing while you were laying there? Having dreams? Spiritual dreams of some kind? Oh, wonderful. Well, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to bother you. I didn't realize you're in the realm of spirituality. Lay there. Please, don't get up. You'll be a hindrance. Are you hearing this? Wait, you know, doesn't somebody want to take on the responsibility? Just think of it right now. Would I take on the responsibility of doing a job every day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year? Would you? I will, and gladly. Because I took it on when I came down here into this ministry and I came in here, when I started my ministry 14 years ago. And you know what? If I don't obey God in what I'm doing, I'm the most miserable dog that ever lives. I can't even sleep. You want to have a good night's sleep? Get real good and tired from doing God's business. You know, it'll just, you know, really drain you is complaining about other people. And just complaining about this one and that one, what they don't do, what you do, and what they don't do. Oh God, who cares? Say, here I am, Lord. Here I am, imperfect. Oh God, I don't want to say any kind of perfection because I know what that'll mean. Zapsville. God, use me. How many want to be used of God? I do. I want God to use me. Say, God, please use me. Use me up. Use me up. Lord, I want to thank you for this audience here tonight. I want to thank you for that. We've learned now from Abram that we just got to pass over. Go from Ur of Chaldees and not just stop in Haran, but to move on towards Canaan, Lord, in our experience. God, thank you for these people here tonight. Thank you for the radio audience. And God, just bless everyone in the mighty name of Jesus. Jesus, we just pray right now that you give us direction. We ask that you bless these people that are coming down to help us in this work that you've given us to do. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for the exciting things that you're doing in the ministry. Thank you, Lord, that you're just raising up people from all over right now. In Jesus' name, amen. Go with your utility.